raised, they win. When his arms lower, they don't do so well. And as he tires, they pick up a stone, set it up for him as a seat, and Aaron and Hur hold his arms aloft. And following their victory, they build an altar and they declare the Lord is their banner. And that stone has borne witness to the fact that God delivers his people and gives them victory against their enemies. Exodus 31. Moses has been up the mountain with God for 40 days. The glory of the Lord has descended. And God picks up his finger and inscribes two tablets of stone. And so the stone experiences the touch of God, but also has the law inscribed on it. Numbers 20. The children of Israel are in the desert, complaining they're going to die of thirst. When a stone or a rock is struck with a stick, and out of it water pours forth. And God brings refreshing in a desert place and causes rivers of living water to come flowing out of something. Joshua chapter 4. The children of Israel have crossed over the Jordan. Dry ground. It's been cut off either side. And 12 elders are sent back in to pick up 12 stones to create a monument as a testimony to the people of Israel forever. And they're a witness to the fact that God makes a way where there seems to be no way. A demonstration of his incredible power. 1 Samuel 17. A shepherd boy picks out 5 stones from a river, while a giant is torturing the people of God. Making an absolute mockery of them. And one stone gets launched at that giant's head, and it's enough to defeat an entire army. John chapter 2. There's some stone water jars. At a wedding where there's no more wine. And these stone water jars get filled with water that miraculously turns into wine. Mark chapter 5. There's a demon-possessed man. Iron bars can't hold him. Chains can't keep him. And he cuts himself with stones when Jesus intervenes, casts the demon out of him, and the people come out and see him sitting in his right mind. Again and again and again. Those are just some stories where stones are mentioned. But again and again, they have borne witness to the goodness of God. They are able to testify to his goodness, his power, the fact that he has transformed circumstances, brought hope into hopeless situations, made a way where there was no way, demonstrated his mighty power. So the stones, if they were to cry out, wouldn't just be babbling nonsense. They've seen some stuff. They have witnessed the goodness of God time and time again. But it's not their job to praise him. It's ours. Psalm 150, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me just give you a clue. Stones do not have breath. That's the point. They've got something. They've seen the goodness of God. But we have breath this morning. And the invitation of Scripture is praise him. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You are a chosen priesthood, chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Isaiah 43 and verse 21 says it probably most simply. The people I formed for myself, God says, that they may proclaim my praise. The rocks weren't meant to praise him. They've got some stuff to say if they had the opportunity. They've seen some stuff. But I am meant to praise him. And 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I understand for a whole lot of us, it doesn't always feel easy to praise. There are times and circumstances in life where praise is a sacrifice, not a response. And that's the encouragement of Hebrews 13, that through Jesus we might offer a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips. But can I suggest to you that praise does something for you? Praise does something for you. Matthew chapter 21, recording the triumphal entry. Verse 15, it says, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things Jesus did, and the children shouting in the temple courts, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. Do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him. Yes, Jesus replied. Have you never read, From the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. That's Psalm 8 and verse 2. The rest of Psalm 8 and verse 2 says, because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. From the lips of children and infants, Lord, you have called forth your praise because of your foes, to silence the enemy and the avenger. Praise shuts up an enemy. Praise silences the voice of the enemy in your life. As you begin to declare the goodness of God and sing his praise, declare his praise, tell of his goodness, it shuts up the enemy of your soul. So here's the reason I give thanks in all circumstances. I'm going to suggest it's more for me than for him. Because actually, when I'm down, what I don't need is somebody whispering in my ear about how bad it is. What I don't need is somebody kicking me while I'm on the floor. What I need to do is lift my eyes and declare his praises so I can silence the voice of an enemy in my life. Because I don't need to hear him. It's bad enough as it is. I don't need what he has to say on top of that. And the reality is that in that I have to speak to myself. Because sometimes praise is not the natural response to things. Not every circumstance that I face do I naturally go, this might bring a song out in me, I don't know. I quite like singing. I'm not great at it, but I quite like it. But my life isn't always a musical. Right? There are times and days where I actually, what I don't feel like doing is opening up my mouth to give God thanks. Actually, what doesn't sometimes naturally flow forth from the circumstances I'm facing is, bless the Lord, O my soul. But the reality is there are times when I'm facing those circumstances where what I have to do is say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord and forget not all of his benefits. Because if I don't do that, what I find myself doing is in a heap of depression, wondering if life's even worth living anymore. What I end up doing is curling up into a ball and wondering if I should just die. I find myself in a position like Elijah, going, Lord, just take me now. I can't go on. Because it seems so bad and so difficult because an enemy has begun to talk to me about the challenge of life and I have lost all perspective on the goodness of God in that process. So there's a time in my life where I have to say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my sins, who heals all my diseases, who redeems my life from the pit and crowns me with love and compassion, who satisfies my desires with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. The reality is the stones have something to say. They have witnessed the goodness of God. But for us, who are his, We have far more to praise him for than the stones ever could. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I am an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. I am seated with him in heavenly places. I have an eternal destiny that is secure, irrelevant of what happens in this life. I have witnessed the power of God in moments, but the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me. I haven't just observed something. It is the reality of my life that something dwells within me that's more powerful than I have the comprehension to understand. And I have a commitment from heaven that the one who began a good work in me is seeing it through to completion. He is good. He is good. He is worthy of my praise. He has done more for my life than anyone ever could. There is nothing this world has to offer that could compare to the goodness of God. There's nothing. And so on this Palm Sunday, I thought we should praise him. Not necessarily because I feel like it. Not necessarily because it's the automatic response to everything that's going on in my world right now. It might be, and that's great. Let me celebrate that with you. But for some of us, it might be that actually what we're doing is silencing the voice of an enemy, because while we're down, what we need to do is lift our eyes to the hills to understand where our help comes from, not to settle in a pit of despair, not to allow a voice to overtake us in the process, but to shut it up. And to say, my God is good. He has good things for me. That might be now or in eternity, but I will praise him. Because it's not the stone's job. But if they got the opportunity, they would. If they had the chance, they'd have something to say. And you might not have a lot to say this morning. You might not have a lot. But I'm fairly certain you've got something. So we're going to worship. And I'm going to ask you to praise him. And I'm going to ask you to praise him. I don't know how long we're going to worship for. We might go over, we might not. Who knows? But we're going to sing for a while. Declaring the goodness of God. Praising him for his incredible love. Grace that knows no end. Mercy that is new every morning. Unfailing love and faithfulness. Goodness and mercy that is following me all the days of my life. Let's stand together and worship.